be in the book of the Proverbs tonight. Let me brag on these young people as well. I sure appreciate the effort you put in. And I wish I was as confident tonight as they seem to play. I believe we're good. I'll have them check. We good, Brother Mike? All right. Well, let me brag on those kids again, just saying what I've already said. I appreciate the effort they put into it and all that. I do covet your prayers, so I'm going to pray before we ever begin and ask the Lord to help me. Honestly, church, I'd just really like to help you. But unless the Lord touches me, and I can't help you. So let's pray. You pray for me and pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask that you'd help us tonight. Father, I do thank you so much for each one of these young people taking part and the instruments, the singing, the memorization, the quoting the verses. Lord, I praise you for every aspect of this service so far. And God, here comes time for the Word of God. And Lord, I'd sure like to just push a button and go in automatic and know that you would take over and just have your way. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to follow your leadership tonight. Lord, I just ask you to open my heart, to be sensitive to you. And Lord, open the hearts of the people in this congregation. Lord, you know my desire is not to be pleasing unto man, but to be pleasing unto you. Lord, help me to be that obedient servant this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I believe I said Proverbs, but I don't know if I told you the chapter. Proverbs chapter number 23. We're going to read one verse, and then we'll maybe look at a couple other verses in chapter 1. But our main text tonight is just going to be one verse in Proverbs chapter number 23. All right, I think everybody's there. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says this, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." And I'm going to read it again for the sake of emphasis. It says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now, what I want to do is talk to you just a little bit about the book of Proverbs and about Solomon. And then we'll come back to this verse. I think most people understand, and I'm going to just maybe bring some things back by way of remembrance, but most people in here understand that Proverbs is written by Solomon, King Solomon. If you were to look just simply at the first chapter, verse number 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." As we see this, we understand he's the writer. We understand there is much said. He is a prominent figure in our Old Testament, being the king of Israel, David's son. Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. They all give us details of his life, and I'm going to bring that back up later on. But we know from those books about his life, we know he had some good times and he had some bad times. He had points in his life that he was doing well, if we could say that from a spiritual standpoint. Now, from the world standpoint, Solomon was always doing well, because the world looks at how you're doing is financially or your power or your fame. But from a spiritual standpoint, we understand that there were times when Solomon was doing well and there were times that he was not. So as we come to the book of Proverbs, we can say without any question that at this point in his time, Solomon is writing this book. He is spiritually right, and he's writing as a concerned parent to and I wrote this phrase down, an easily impressionable son. And I'm going to repeat that later on, but I want you to notice with me in chapter number 1 and verse number 8, if you're there in chapter number 1, look how many times we see this. Solomon, it says in verse number 8 of chapter 1, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse number 10, he says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In verse number 15, he says, "My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from thy path." Verse number chapter 2 and chapter 3, and it goes on, "My son, my son, my son." And can I say from a parent's side of view here, there comes a stage in life with my children, especially when they were young, Brother Andy, I didn't think there were many kinds of things to worry about at all. I didn't think about really anything. We just went to church. And you just go to church when the children are young. And then it got a little older and it got some things like, what are we going to do about school? Are we going to try to homeschool? Are we going to try to stick them in a private school? Are we going to stick them in a public school? And that's the first time maybe in my life as a parent that started thinking, oh my, we've got some decisions to make. And I started being more concerned about them because at, 2 and 3 years old, you're really not worried about their salvation at that point. And you just kind of have fun with them, teaching them some Bible verses and so forth. But my, as a parent or as parenting progresses, so do the decisions, and so does the decision making. And so as I see this point in Solomon's life, he is right with God. He's spiritually where he ought to be, but he's trying to instill some value, some truth into his son. And no doubt if we were to look much into Solomon's life, Solomon made a lot of mistakes. And no doubt he understands that his children saw his life and they saw his mistakes. And my, he's coming back to them and he's saying over and over, and I believe it's 23 times, he says, "My son, my son," and he's trying to teach him truth and encourage him in the way he should go. But I said this and I want to repeat it. He is writing at this point in his life as a spiritually concerned parent. He wants what's right for his children spiritually. He doesn't tell him, "I want you to give your all to make money. I don't want you." He doesn't say, "I want to give you all that you can be number one in a sports league." He doesn't say, "I want you to grow and make a big business." He's worried about them spiritually. And my, what a lesson we can learn here as we come to this point. But here's what I also want you to say one more time. I want to repeat. He's writing to an easily impressionable son. Say, how do you know that? Because all children are easily influenced. They're easily swayed. And then you say, my son or my daughter, he's not easily influenced. I'd say you're probably wrong. Just as a, maybe not a blanket statement, but as a, I think you're probably mistaken. Let me say this, whether you're concerned or not about your child's spiritual well-being, I believe they are easily influenced. Probably by this world. I know as a young person I was influenced by this world. Probably you were too. And there's a really good possibility that your children, whether you're concerned about them spiritually or not, they're probably influenced by this world. Maybe not. Probably they're influenced by their peers. Probably there are people that you would rather them not be around because you know they might influence your children in a negative way. But can I say this to you parents? Whether they're influenced by the world or not, and whether they're influenced by their own peers or not, I guarantee you, your children are influenced by you. Mommy and Daddy, I want you to understand, you probably already know this, but you influence your children in a major way. Now the question is, are you influencing them in a godly way, or are you influencing them in a worldly way? So I wouldn't do that for nothing. Let me give you this little word here of caution. When you are half-hearted in your parenting, when you are half-hearted in your spirituality, you are influencing your children to be half-hearted in their spirituality. But I say, make sure you're a spiritually concerned person. Now, I'm aware it's you Sunday, but let me just say a few more things to the parents, and I've got a simple message for the children. Let me say this to the parents. If you are not a spiritually concerned parent, why not? Why not? By that, the older I get, the more I feel like I just seem to realize the many mistakes I made as a parent. And my, maybe it's just, I don't know why this is on me like it is, but if you're not a spiritually concerned parent regarding your children, why not? That is, I don't know that answer. Can I say, whether you're concerned or how much concern you have for your children, only you and God know, and probably your children, by the way. But let me ask you this, or let me say a few things right here and we'll get to the message. I'd like to remind the parents of this church of just a few things, and I know you've heard this many times from this pulpit. Number one, God has entrusted you with your children's spiritual well-being. Andy, Lindsay, both of you sitting on the front row, probably the first time you've ever sat on the front row. I guess that's an invitation to preach to you. But can I say to you, Miss Lindsay, God did not entrust me to raise your children. You've got four just wonderful children. I think your children are just precious. And you look like you're getting teary-eyed talking about your children. I got to leave or I will too. But can I say, God did not entrust me to raise your children, Brother Andy. He entrusted you. And my, that's an awesome responsibility that God has given you. And we can go look at the Psalms and talk about their inheritance of the Lord. But my God has given you children. And with that comes the responsibility of raising them in a godly manner. Amen. God has given us, can I say, in specific instructions on how we ought to raise our children. And can I say, I don't know if there's a Bible verse for this or not, but I wonder if we won't be held accountable when we stand before God of how we raise our children. Oh, that's a sobering thought that came to me last night. And we always think about our service for God. And I understand the judgment seat of Christ and those aspects. But my, sometimes this thing of judgment goes a little further when it says we're going to be held accountable for every idle word that's going to come into judgment. I wonder, as us as parents, as we're not going to have to stand before God and give account of how we raised our children. Oh, that's a serious thing to think about. God's entrusted you with your children, not your Sunday school teachers. Brother Mike, I agree with everything you said, and I find enjoyment. I really enjoy it. Brother, I believe you'd say, you and me, we come out of that class every Sunday. We're laughing, we're smiling. I'm usually going to parents telling you, you wouldn't believe what they did or what they said and everything else. I enjoy it. But God did not entrust us as Sunday school teachers to raise your children and to help them. We're here as a help. The church is here as a help. But the parents' responsibility to see their children raised right. Number three, let me say, there are real enemies out there that would like to destroy, to devour, and to conform your children. We just, Pastor, I know you've said this so many times, talking about if there was a lion out there on Gamble Lane, and I've heard that there's been a bear sighted a couple times, but if that was going on and you knew there was a big old black bear or grizzly bear out there, and you knew there was a lion in the woods, we just wouldn't let the kids run out there without adult supervision. That would be silly. I think about handguns. We wouldn't just give little Johnny back there. You just wouldn't give him a loaded gun. Say, oh, look what I got you, son. Oh, see if you can shoot it accurate. See if you can hit me. I mean, that's just foolishness. We wouldn't let them go out and play in the yard when they knew there was a bunch of rattlesnakes out there. That's foolishness. But my, can I say, it's just as foolish we go around not understanding that there is a real, legitimate enemy out there that wants to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to devour. That's what the devil's out to do. My, well, we need to realize the enemy, we don't need to underestimate the capabilities of the enemy. Number four, let me say this. We've got a very, very limited time. You all probably, I'm coming back, you all probably realizing this with Malia, you've got a limited time to influence your children. Amen. Now this one here, you got a lot of time left. But the older they get, the less time you have. And we think 18, 19, 20. That's not the case. 12, 13, 14, they're not grown. And they might be physically mature, but they're not spiritually or mentally mature, but they think they are. I'm not talking about you, Malia. I'm just talking about you, okay, sweetie? They get to your age, you think, I pretty much understand things. I'm pretty much smarter than my mom. Right, Ben? I'm pretty much smarter than my parents. Isn't that right? I was there. I know that. I know how I used to think. And that's what happens. We have a very limited time with our children to instill the right values and the right discipline or structure in our children's lives before it's gone. They might legally be under your house, but they're gone a lot sooner than 18. I tell you what, parents, it would be wise of us to go to people like the pastor, maybe like Miss Sheridan, mine, Ronnie, and Mary, some of these people who have raised children. Now, you say, well, I know what they did, and they did it. I'm not saying whether they were perfect parents or not, because they weren't. But it would be wise for us to go to godly people and say, can you tell me some of the things that where you did good, and can you tell me some of the areas where you really messed up? Because, my, I just sense this is such an awesome responsibility I have that God's placed on me, and I don't want to mess it up. And, my kids are already 5 and 7 and however old, and I just don't want to mess it up. I just wonder, why don't we do that? Why don't we take it as serious as God makes it in His Word? Well, it would be wise if we'd go to some of these people. You know what they'd tell you? They wouldn't act like they did it right. They'd say, my, I wish. And when they say, I wish I had, my, y'all take note right there and learn. My, we don't have a bit of problem learning from people's mistakes in the Bible. We can point out their mistakes a whole lot better than we can point out their good things. We ought to use the people in our church, the godly people, to learn all the wisdom we can. But here's where I want to get you back to Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 23, understanding that Solomon, when he's writing this book, he's spiritually, he's right with God, and he is concerned about his child. And mind, if you're not concerned about your child, I don't know what to say. I can say this, your heart's not right as a parent. Now, I don't know how to help you get it right other than and get yourself right. But now I want to move on to the youth as we come to this verse. Understanding that when Solomon is writing this, he has a desire that his son or his child do right. He has a desire that his son would make the right decisions and follow God and not make the same mistakes that he made. And here's what I want to say to you. As we look at this verse, turn with me back to chapter 23 and look at verse 23 again. He says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, he says, not only the truth, but we see wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, if you have read the book of Proverbs much at all, you know that there's one other word that's grouped together. That word is knowledge. And if you take the words truth, wisdom, instruction, knowledge, and understanding, they're in the book of Proverbs over 185 times. Continually, throughout the book, Solomon is telling his son, hey, there are some things you need to get a hold of. There are some things you need to try to attain. And here in this verse, he tells his son, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, this list he gives. So what I want to say to you about these things, and I'm going to talk about that word buy in just a minute, but these things of truth, wisdom, knowledge, instruction, understanding, these things are invaluable. They are absolutely invaluable. Even though the word says buy, these are things that you cannot pay money for. These are things you cannot, and I know after the service, I'll meet half of you down at the Dollar General store, and you'll walk in there and you'll buy something you want. You cannot go into the Dollar General store and buy these things. You cannot walk into any store and buy these things. Brother Andy, no amount of money that you could ever get and save up could purchase these things that God sees as so important. They're invaluable. They are attained by the fear of the Lord, if we want to say it that way. These are things you don't just get overnight. It's not one day you're going to wake up and you're going to say, "Whoa, I've got knowledge, I've got truth, I've got wisdom, I've got understanding." It's not going to be just overnight. Let me say this to you. You're only going to get these things by allowing God's Word to work in your heart, by listening to the God-ordained authority in your life. And by that I mean your parents. Amen. The parents, if they're spiritually concerned about their children, they're going to be trying to influence their children at home. Whether you want to call it family Bible time or the altar time, family altar, prayer time, whatever. There are times at home when the parents are going to try to influence the children in a spiritual way. The pastor, the man of God, if he is right, his goal is to influence not just the children, but all the flock in spiritual matters. And other godly people that God has placed in your life to help you. Can I say you're only going to get these by reading your Bible for yourself, by praying and having a relationship with God for yourself. Let me say one more. By doing your best, after you've done all these things, to put them in action. As Jimmy said this morning, simply read, pray, and obey. Young people, if you'll do these things, it won't be overnight still, but if you'll do these things day after day, week after week, just continually steady in this pursuit of truth and knowledge and wisdom and understanding and all this, eventually you're going to find yourself with these. Notice the word "by." I've referenced it a few times. It does not have the idea of paying money for here. The word "buy" has the idea of doing what you need to do to attain it, or putting forth the necessary effort to get it. Understand, you cannot buy it. Buy, would you not? Pastor, would you not? I don't know, how many grandchildren do you have now? Would you not just mortgage your house all over again and get a second job if you could purchase the truth and knowledge and wisdom for your grandchildren? "Oh, I got you something for Christmas." Open it up and it's a box full of wisdom. You just can't buy it. You can't do it. But the word here, "buy," has a different idea than that. But it gives us the idea that we are to put forth a necessary effort, be diligent about getting these things. The book of Proverbs is full. I made a list of 10 or 12. Listen to some of these words that are found around the words truth, wisdom, instruction, so forth. It says that we're to cry out for it. It says that we're to seek it, to find it, to keep it. We're to learn it. We're to get it. We're to hear and listen for it. We are to attain it. We are to take hold fast of it. We are to embrace it. Now, here's what I want to say to you young people. It's going to be real simple. Here's the idea. Young people, just listen to me a few more minutes. This world has a whole lot for sale, but none of it's worth buying.
Amen. 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 Yes, amen.
I want to say it again, and it's not scripture. It's just something I wrote down. This world has a whole lot for sale, but none of it's worth buying. Now, the older people understand that. You younger people need to understand that. And what you need to put your effort into buying or attaining are the spiritual things. Now, here's the reality. The world and the devil are very good at making the things that have no value appear to be of great value. And that's advertising, that's the ways of our world. But I want you to remember that the devil, he is a master, not of telling the truth, but he's a master of deception. He is a master of deception. We could go to Genesis 3 and look about how he deceived them, and he's the great deceiver throughout the Bible. We could go to 2 Corinthians 11 and talks about how he will transform himself into an angel of light and things of that nature. But also thinking about our enemy, the devil, he's a liar and a father of it. Well, how foolish it is that we soon forget when the world is advertising these things that it's the devil's. It's the devil's world. And he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He is the enemy trying to ruin your life. This is the person who's trying to get you to sell what the world has to offer. Oh, it looks so good. And everything about what the world presents to you as an 18-year-old man, oh, it looks good. And it's tempting. And you just kind of want it. And you want to gravitate to it. And everybody else your age does. But the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Let me have you turn to just a couple of verses and we'll be done tonight. I want you to turn to Proverbs. Hold your place. Well, you can if you want. We'll turn back in a minute. But turn to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8, verses 10 and 11. Now, understanding the devil is very good at making things of no value look or appear to be of great value. But look what chapter number 8, verse 10 says. He says, receive my instruction and not silver. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. And then it goes on in verse number 11, for wisdom is better than rubies. But now, here, take your mind away from that, and I want to give you the option. Here we are. As a young person, and I know you're going to say the right thing today, but I've got in one hand, I have instruction, knowledge, and wisdom. But in my other hand, I've got gold. The Bible says choice gold, silver, and rubies. And here's what happens. It's set right before you. Oh, look at that gold. It's shiny, isn't it? Look at your papaw's watch. It's shiny, isn't it? Oh my, silver, shiny rubies. They're appealing to the eyes. They're appealing to our flesh. Pride of life. My, look at that. Choice number one. Over here is wisdom. Knowledge. Instruction. Truth. Here it is, young person. Which do you want? Now, you're going to say the right thing because you're sitting on the front row of church right beside your papaw. But you know, can I tell you, 99.9% of this world, including Christians, they're reaching for the gold. They're diving for the gold and the silver and the rubies. Oh, I got to have it. And if I don't like jewelry, I'll sell it, put it in my bank account. Oh, I got to have it. But what does the Bible say? He says, receive instruction and not silver. He says, knowledge rather than choice gold. And look at verse number 11. I stopped halfway through on purpose. It says, for wisdom is better than rubies. And then look at how it ends. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Oh, Levi, you caught my eye, Mr. Sportsman. The Super Bowl trophy and the Super Bowl ring in this hand. My, that one guy's got like more than he could put on a hand. And he can hold that trophy up. And on that hand, you got the rings and the trophy. It means you're the MVP and everything else. Oh, but in this hand is truth. And this hand is wisdom. And this hand is knowledge. And this hand is the fear of the Lord. And this hand is understanding. Do you know it's going to look real appealing to go after these things? But these things are trash. These things are of no value. Those things God is not impressed with. They have nothing to do with God. But all those things on the other hand, My, we need to realize what's important in this world, what's important to God. And as parents, emphasize that to our children so they can get a proper understanding of things that are going to just burn up and things that are going to bring glory to God. Nothing. Look what it says. In all things that may be desired. You could just close your eyes and think about something that you desire. Oh, if I could just have this. Oh, if I could just get a hold of that. My, then I'll have everything that I need. But the Bible says they're not to be even compared to wisdom. Think about that a minute. Our thinking ain't right, young people. Sometimes your parents' thinking ain't right, young people. But the Bible's right. We need to make sure we're understanding it as it is. Now turn to Proverbs number 16. We're just going to see the same thing. Proverbs number 16. Verse number 16. Here's what he says. How much better. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? He's not asking the question like we would ask. Look at your Bible. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? He's not saying, how much better is it? Is it 10% better? Is it 50% better to get wisdom than gold? Oh, he's saying, oh, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. My, we don't think that way, but we need to think that way. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And then it says, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. We may not understand it right, but I promise you, God's Word is right. I promise you, young people, this Word is right. And it will be better for you a million times over every single time of that to choose wisdom than all the other things that can be desired. Choose wisdom. Now here's where I want you to stay with me just a minute longer. I'm on my last page. I want you to look back to verse number 23 in chapter 23, our main text verse. It says, buy the truth, and it says, and sell it not. Here's what I want you to get, young people. Once you've understood that this world's goods are of no value, and once you've done all you can to get the spiritual things in your life, then the Bible says, sell it not. And what that says is not talking about selling it for gain, but it's saying, hold on to it. Make it a priority in your life that those things that are truly important, make sure you're cleaving to them. Make sure you're guarding them. Making sure that no one, don't allow anyone to influence you away from those things. And I want you to think about this just for a minute. I just didn't talk about Solomon and stuff for no reason. But this is God's inspired Word. But it's also the voice of experience thinking. This is the voice of experience speaking, I should say. Brother Jason, you know as much about Solomon as I do. And we already said earlier that a whole lot of the books in the Bible, that record his life. They record his successes and they record his failures. And here he is, he's penning this under inspiration of God. And he's saying to his son, son, I love you. I care about you. I want you to succeed spiritually. Son, listen, buy the truth and sell it not. And here's what I want to say to you. Solomon bought the truth. Solomon had maybe, and I don't know how David was as a dad. We could look at that a different time. But David was a man whose heart was after God. David loved God. David was a great man of God. And David's son Solomon here, he bought the truth. And if you, you could say he bought wisdom. He bought bought that in the sense that he pursued it. He went after it. But then later on in Solomon's life, Solomon sold it. He sold it for the sake of peace. He sold it for the sake of unity. He sold it for the purpose of pleasure. He sold it, and we can look at Ecclesiastes, and we can look at some of the things and the mistakes that he made. All those books, if you were to start reading them, you'd find this out. That when he made the spiritual a priority in his life, when he was buying, Brother Dre, when he was buying, his life was on a peak. His life was on an upward trajectory, if that's the way you pronounce it. His life was going right. His life was going up when he was buying. But when he started selling, that's when you see it's when his life is going down. When he's holding on to that truth and he's doing all he can to have that wisdom. And I still remember so many years ago, Brother Andy, you taught a lesson on Solomon and how he was wise, and one of his great attributes was his wisdom. But when God gave him a choice, you know what? You remember teaching that he asked for the things that he was still had. It was a great lesson. Solomon was a wise man, and he still wanted more wisdom. He was a knowledgeable, all these different words. But then at some point, he started getting cast to the side. Like it says in Isaiah, the truth is falling to the street. He started putting them to the side, and his life went on a downward spiral. And don't think you're any better, Solomon. Here he tells his son. And I don't know how inspiration always works, but somehow there's a little bit of the life of the writer in the text, but I understand it's all God. He's writing this to his son by the truth. Can't you see the heart of Solomon in this? Son, buy the truth. Get the truth. Get a hold of the truth and wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Buy it. Get a hold of it. And don't let go. No matter who comes around, no matter what the situations may be, don't let go of the truth. Hold on to it. Let me tell you, even having everything, and anything that he wanted, when he was on that downward spiral, his life was miserable. His life was empty. How do you know that? Because he said, all is vain. All is vain. Here he has, he said, I kept nothing from me. If my eye saw it and I wanted it, I got it. But he was miserable. It'll be no different for you, young people. Now, the world's going to tell you this. What we've got to offer. Oh, come and get you some of this. It'll bring you happiness. It'll bring you joy. It'll bring you contentment. It'll bring you satisfaction. I'm telling you, don't buy what the world's selling. It's fool's gold and it's junk. Buy the truth. Sell it not. I promise you, if you go with God, you may not have riches in this world, but you'll have happiness. Amen. You may not have popularity. You may not have all that stuff that the world says you're supposed to have to be happy. But if you go with God, you'll have happiness. You'll have the true joy of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you, if you would, to please just let these words sink in to the hearts of the young people, and really, Lord, even to the parents as well. God, would you just work in my heart as a parent, work in the parents of this church. God, help us to be spiritually concerned parents. And God, work in the hearts of these young people. Help them to realize this world has nothing to offer. Lord, I just wish that I could burn that in their soul somehow. God, I just thank you for working in my heart. Thank you so much, Lord. I know I went through hard times. I know I was fooled by the devil in this world for such a long time. But I just thank you and praise you, God, for opening my eyes and dealing with my heart and saving my soul. God, help me to buy the truth and sell it not. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, who's playing? Go ahead, Ben. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Just be honest with God. This is where wisdom's going to come from, being honest with God. Don't play games. If you say you want knowledge and you want understanding and you want these things, you're going to have to find it by being obedient, being honest with God. I wonder if there's some young people here. Been looking to the world. Been seeing the things the world has to offer. My, they look good. They look good to old people sometimes. My, by the truth. Ask the Lord to help you to see what's a counterfeit. Ask the Lord to help you. By the truth and sell it knowledge.